بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون، أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: عجبا لأمر المؤمن، إن أمره كله له خير، إن أصابته ضراء صبر فكان خيرا له، وإن أصابته سراء شكر فكان خيرا له، وليس ذلك لأحد إلا للمؤمن، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected friends and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent every man into this dunya so he may leave this dunya. We all came to go. We all came to prepare for the real life, which is the life of the akhirah. The life of the dunya is a temporary phase. It's a very short while in comparison to the everlasting life of the hereafter. And in the short while that we spend in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us through different trials, different phases of life, and we go from one phase to another and one stage to another until we meet our end and our Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. For a believer, for a reciter in the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, his duty is, whatever his condition in the world, his Allah must not be displeased with him. He must still be fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He must still be following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then irrespective of his material position and standing, irrespective of his condition in the world, if he is fulfilling the command of Allah and following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then in reality, in haqiqah, he has nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. Difficult conditions have come over us in this country, and the majority of the business people have been affected. This is a test on the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was mentioning to a friend yesterday, I can never imagine the pain that will be felt by those people who have suffered these losses. We look at one or two examples and our heart sinks. When it doesn't belong to us, imagine that person who made that effort his entire life, and now he sees what happened in front of him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. In a condition like this, shaitan, respected friends and elders, is waiting. Shaitan would put those bad thoughts in our minds. Shaitan would put those questions in our minds that are not supposed to be asked. Shaitan is waiting to attack not only the a'mal. Shaitan is not only there to deprive you of your salah and to distract you from giving your zakat and other acts of ibadah, but rather shaitan's main aim and goal is to rob you of your iman and your aqidah. So thoughts like, why did it happen to me? Why now? What wrong am I doing in my life? To ask that question, what wrong am I doing, in retrospection, inspecting yourself, is good. But to ask it as an objection, on the condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put on us, that is now tampering with our aqidah and our iman. This is now shaitan at play, respected friends and elders. Good conditions and bad conditions come on all types of people. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored someone, then it does not mean that like he has got favors of Allah and is enjoying luxury in the world, he is guaranteed luxury in the akhirah. And neither does it mean if a person is suffering hardship and difficulty in this dunya, that na'udhu billah, Allah has abandoned him. No, respected friends and elders. Difficult conditions came on the choicest of the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam, and every other pious person of the past. A sahabi once asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, man ashaddu nasi bala'an? From all of mankind, who are those people that are tested the most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-anbiya thumma al-amthal fal-amthal. The anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam, they are the ones that are tested the most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are put through times of difficulty. So being in a difficult position, respected friends and elders, is never a sign that Allah has abandoned us, na'udhu billah. No. وَبَلَوْنَاهُمْ بِالْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ Allah says, we put people through trials, and we test them sometimes with affluence and luxury. بِالْحَسَنَاتِ with good, with additional ni'mats, with comfort. This is also a test from the side of Allah. وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ and with difficult conditions, and with bad conditions, like the current state, respected friends and elders. Allah says, we are testing them, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ so that they may turn back to Allah. They may return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person who took this as a test from the side of Allah, and he turned back to Allah, then this perhaps can be the best thing that happened to him in his life. That person that responded in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like he ought to have responded. He made sabr, he was patient. He never said anything that displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then for that person, this condition can perhaps be the best condition in his life, because it became a means of him going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But some people go through difficulty, and that difficulty thereafter, Allah save us, becomes a means of them going further away from Allah. Allah save us. That is not what we want. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encapsulated this in a beautiful hadith where he says that عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ How amazing is the matter, the affair of a believer. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ Whatever his condition is, it is all good for him. It is good. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us in this hadith, if you are in a position of luxury and affluence, it's good for you. And if you're in a position of need, it can also be good for you. إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّى If he is afflicted with difficulty and hardship, صَبَرَ He makes sabr, he is patient. فَكَانَ خَيْرَ اللَّهِ Then that is good for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّى And if he is blessed with good conditions, شَكَرَ He is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَكَانَ خَيْرَ اللَّهِ Then that is good for him as well. And this privilege of benefiting from both situations, a situation of affluence and luxury, and the condition of difficulty and hardship, وَلَيْسَ ذَٰلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ This is only enjoyed by a mu'min, a person who has iman, person who truly believes in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself suffered so much in his life, so much he had lost. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum had suffered so much in their lives. So respected friends and elders, this condition that has come upon many of us, or even most of us, again as I mentioned at the beginning, it's not something that you will ask from Allah. But it is not necessarily something bad for you. It could be a means of you getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And undoubtedly it is not a sign that Allah has abandoned us. It is not a sign that Allah's help is not with us. No, this could be Allah brought this on this condition upon us. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ Perhaps this is one way in which they will come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after suffering one of the most difficult days in his life in Ta'if, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was stoned. Here our shops and businesses were stoned. Our goods were stolen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was stoned. His dignity was taken away. In that condition, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the lengthy dua. One aspect of the dua is, إِلَّمْ تَكُنْ سَاخِطًا عَلَيَّ فَلَا أُبَالِي Oh Allah, if you are not displeased with me, then this condition doesn't concern me. Then I'm not worried about what these people are doing. Because more importantly, in your court, O Allah, that is what counts. What is my position in your court? إِلَّمْ تَكُنْ سَاخِطًا عَلَيَّ فَلَا أُبَالِي I don't care, O Allah, what the people say, what is my loss in the world, as long as in your court I haven't lost out. Among the tabi'un you can say a grand nephew of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or like a nephew of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Urwat ibn al-Zubayr. Urwat ibn al-Zubayr was the son of Sayyidina Zubayr radiallahu anhu and Asma radiallahu anha. He was born after the passing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he became among the greatest muhaddithun and fuqaharim of Medina. And he traveled the Islamic world as well. He became the greatest student of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, who was his khala, his mother's sister. Urwat ibn al-Zubayr is quoted by the ulama as a sign and as an example of extreme sabr and patience in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Walid ibn Abdul Malik, who was once upon a time the governor in Medina, when he became the Khalifa, when he became the ruler of the Muslim Empire, the capital of the Muslim state was in Damascus. So he sent for Urwa, that come and see me, come and visit me. So Urwa, rahimahullah, had 7 sons. He took 1 son with him. Some ulama write that was his favorite son. And when he came en route, when he was nearing Damascus, he got ill, he got sick, and there was some kind of an infection that got into his leg. And that infection began to increase. And the time came when he arrived in Damascus, he was carried. He could not walk himself, he could not ride himself. He was in a very difficult condition. When he came there, now he's coming to the ruler of the Muslim Empire. Walid ibn Abdul Malik, seeing this condition, took pity on him and called the best of doctors. It was decided that his leg has to be amputated from the knee down. So this was obviously a person traveling all the way, and now not having one leg and to go back all the way to Medina Munawwara, a great test for him. So his leg was amputated. While he was in Damascus, that son that he brought with him also passed away suddenly. He was injured by the horse, and that is how he passed away. So he suffered the loss of his favorite son as well. Ulama explained that Urwa, in all these conditions, repeated the words, Alhamdulillah. Nothing more than that. And when he returned and he was coming close to Medina, he said, لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِن سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا. In other words, he repeated the words that Musa alayhi salam had said, if a Nabi can say this much and I will say this much, that in this safar, in this journey of mine, I got tired. I was toiled. I experienced some difficulty and some tiredness. That is all he mentioned. And respected friends and elders, I'm painting this picture for you so I can quote to you his words of solace. He used to make dua thereafter. When he got this news, when he suffered the amputation of his leg, he suffered the loss of his favorite son. He said, Allahumma kanu sab'a. Oh Allah, my sons, there were 7 of them. فَأَخَذْتَ وَاحِدًا وَأَبْقَيْتَ سِتَّةً. You took one only and you left 6. In other words, oh Allah, I'm so grateful to you for what you left behind. Allahumma kunna arba'an. I had 4 limbs. In other words, 2 legs and 2 hands. فَأَخَذْتَ وَاحِدَةً وَأَبْقَيْتَ ثَلَاثٌ. You took only one, oh Allah, and you left 3 limbs of mine. Allahumma la'in kunta akhadhta falatalama a'tayt. Oh Allah, if you have taken something from me, then for so long you have given, and you have given, and you have given. وَلَئِن كُنْتَ بْتَلَيْتَ فَلَطَالَمَا عَفَيْتَ. Oh Allah, if you have tested me, you have put me through this difficult condition now, then for so long in my life you gave me afia. For so long you have protected me. Urwat ibn Zubair here is teaching us this lesson, that even in a condition like this, condition where we suffer great loss, we can be grateful to Allah. It depends how we look at that situation, respected friends and elders. Sabr. Sabr is the greatest weapon of a believer in conditions like this. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah is with those who are patient. Sabr is from those deeds which are the most rewarding in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firstly, here look at this verse. Allah says, Allah is with those who have sabr. You have the ma'iyyat of Allah. You have Allah with you if you are patient. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Those that are patient, Allah says, they will be repaid the reward without any account. In other words, limitless reward is promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who exercise sabr and patience. My beloved father, rahimahullah, used to console people in conditions like these. He would say, "Bhai, this is a passing phase. This is a passing phase. This condition has come. It's not going to remain. Inshallah, with the passage of time, time is the best healer," he used to quote from others. "That time is the best healer. Time will pass. And inshallah, this condition will be replaced by a better condition later on." Let us not become despondent from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again here, alhamdulillah, we are still alive. Alhamdulillah, our families have been saved. Alhamdulillah, there's so much more that Allah has kept intact and saved and protected for us. And we live for another day. We live inshallah for another day, we'll make effort again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant barakah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change his conditions for the better inshallah. Every difficult condition, respected friends and elders, is sandwiched between 2 good conditions, between 2 periods of prosperity. And we get this lesson in the Quran. where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, inna ma'al usri yusra, inna ma'al usri yusra. Ulama have deduced from this, that every difficulty has a period of prosperity before it, and a period of prosperity after it, respected friends and elders. Let us look forward to that, inshallah. Let us respond now in a condition that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has exhorted the ummah in so many verses to make sabr. But among the greatest verses about sabr is وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give good news to those who are patient. The man is suffering. He is in difficulty. Allah says, give him good news, give him basharat. The sabirin, because they are patient. Why? Because of what they will get later. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. They are those that when they are afflicted with any calamity, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We belong to Allah, and to Allah we are going to return. In other words, if we belong to Allah, whatever was given to us was from Allah. Whatever was taken from us was taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are happy in this condition. We are taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that in good times to say alhamdulillah and to praise Allah, and in difficult times also to praise Allah. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. We praise Allah in every condition. When a person is able to praise Allah in difficulty, then he becomes the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة. Those who are patient, those who respond in this condition, like they ought to respond, Allah says أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة. Upon such people will be the mercy of Allah and the choicest of mercies of Allah. وأولئك هم المهتدون. And those are the ones who have been rightly guided. That's why I said at the beginning, respected friends and elders, for some people, this condition can perhaps be the best thing that could have happened to him. If it brought him closer to Allah, if it made him the misdaq, and brought him under the purport of this verse, that he was patient, he said, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ, then he gets the choices of mercy of Allah, and he's guaranteed hidayat by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qadi Shureyh rahimahullah, who was a senior qadi in the time of Sahaba, he was a great tabi'i. It is mentioned from him, and a similar statement quoted from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Qadi Shureyh says, Inni la usabu bil musiba. When I am afflicted with a calamity, فأحمد الله عليها أربع مرات, I praise Allah for that calamity four times. Four times I praise Allah. In other words, I am thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even for the musiba. Number one, إِذَا لَمْ تَكُنْ أَعْظَمَ مِمَّا هِي. When it wasn't worse than what it was. In other words, I ponder over the loss and I say, oh Allah, it could have been worse. But you only took so much away and you left something for me as well. He says, I make shukr and I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I realize that. Number two is, وَفَّقَنِي الصَّبْرَ عَلَيْهَا. When Allah gives me tawfiq to make sabr and to have patience in that condition, I make shukr to Allah because this is a good thing for me. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ. Sabra fakana khayra la, the hadith says. He is patient and that is good for him. So if he had the tawfiq to be patient, he says, I make shukr and I praise Allah. That despite this musibat of Allah, I praise you and I'm happy and I'm grateful because I got tawfiq to make sabr. If I recited, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, he says, I praise Allah for that tawfiq. And number four, idha lam takut, was not a musibat in my deen. It was a musibat of dunya. Because respected friends and elders, there is no comparison between a loss in your deen and loss in dunya. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, I take solace, I console myself when I suffer any loss in three ways. Number one, إِذْ لَمْ تَكُنْ فِي دِينِ. When that musibat didn't affect my deen. The rest is very similar to what passed. Musibat in our deen, respected friends and elders, is a greater calamity and a greater loss. My beloved father, rahimahullah, this lesson we saw in his life, if he came somehow late to the masjid, and he missed the salat with jamaat, or he missed the takbir ula, he would say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Have we understood that there is also a musiba? He would say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Lost to some possession of the dunya, never hurt him like it hurt him, missing salat with jamaat, forget missing salat totally. Why? Because the pious of the past considered that to be a greater musiba. One of the pious saints of the past once missed his salat with jamaat and he complained and he lamented. He said, فَاتَتْنِي الصَّلَاةُ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ. I missed my salat with jamaat. For 25 years he never missed his salat with jamaat. On that day he missed his salat with jamaat. He says, and nobody came to console me besides one man. One pious person came in, he consoled me and told me, "By, you know, Allah make it easy for you. You missed out. You missed out. You suffered a loss here. You missed out your Salatul Jamaat. He says, on the other hand, if I lose my child, if a son of mine has to pass away, the whole town will come. The whole town will come to console me. He says, because in the eyes of the people, the musibat of dunya is considered to be worse than musibat of deen. And it's supposed to be the other way around. Musibat of deen, suffering a loss in our deen, is a greater loss. If Allah has taken away somebody's livelihood temporarily, because whatever is written for us in our risk is going to come. Whether it comes via that shop, whether it comes via some other means, is going to come to us, respected friends and elders. So if somebody has been deprived of that, it is a test definitely. But on the other hand, if he has been deprived of something in his deen, musibat that befell him in his deen is worse. He missed his salat totally, it's a musibat in his deen. He paid interest or he collected interest, is a musibat in his deen. He didn't fast in the month of Ramadan, is a musibah in his deen. He wasn't particular in his zakat, is a musibah in his deen. He looked at haram, he spoke haram, he heard haram, he did haram. This is a musibah in deen, respected friends and elders. And how many a time we are afflicted with such musibats in our lives. Day in and day out, daily we are suffering such losses. Do we consider that really to be a musibah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paints this picture for us, and now is a time when we ought to understand this hadith even more. Man fatathu salatun, that person who misses one salah, فَكَأَنَّمَا وُتِرَ أَهْلَهُ وَمَالَهُ, it is as if he has been robbed of his wealth and his family. Today, the loss is great. And by no means I mean to belittle the loss. As I said at the beginning, I can never imagine the loss that people are feeling, the sadness, the despair. But let us look at it in proper perspective. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a man who missed out one salah only, he never read his fajr. And how many are reading their fajr daily? How many in our own town, our own community are missing their fajr salat, or their zuhr salat, or their asr salat? One salah only a person misses, it's as if he has been robbed of all his wealth and his entire family. وُتِرَ أَهْلَهُ وَمَالَهُ. Al-mawtur is a person who loses it, and he can see it happening, like was the case today. Like people saw with their own eyes, their shops being looted, how sad, how pitiful. Person can see it happening and he can't do nothing about it. This is a mawtur. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that person who wutira ahlahu wa mala, man who missed out one salah, is as if he has been robbed like that in front of him and he couldn't do nothing. His wealth was taken and his entire family was taken. Imagine his loss. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us. That understand the calamity in our deen is greater. We have suffered so many losses in our deen in other ways in this past year. So many senior ulama have left our country. Wallahi, respected friends and elders, wallahi, the loss of dunya can never match the loss of your deen. The loss of senior ulama, we had this Mufti Ibrahim Desai, rahimahullah, who passed away a few days ago, a giant of an alim, a great servant who served our community and our country and the globe at large. And so many other senior ulama. Inspecting our lives, a year ago we lost our imam, rahimahullah. Have we seen a replacement? 1 year later. There's no replacement coming, respected friends and elders. And day in and day out, ulama are leaving our country. 1 year from now, you will not see he has been replaced. But 1 year from now, inshallah, your business will be replaced. Your wealth and property will be restored. You will be in a better condition, inshallah, because dunya comes and goes. But deen, when we are robbed of our deen, respected friends and elders, then that is the greatest of musibats. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of realizing and making shukr, alhamdulillah, we have our deen intact. We may have lost whatever we lost in our business, and inshallah Allah will restore it and give it back. But our deen is intact, our iman is intact, we are back, we are still in the masjid, we are still holding on to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we have won. Then we won this battle, shaitan was defeated. In the time of Sahaba, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a couple, and a Mubarak couple. The couple of Umm Salama and Abu Salama radiyallahu anhuma. They were a Mubarak couple because they made hijrah twice for the sake of deen. They left whatever they had, Makkah Mukarramah, and made hijrah to Abyssinia in the early days. And thereafter they made hijrah for a second time and they came to Medina Munawwara. Abu Salama passed away after the battle of Uhud. Umm Salama, who was a relative of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the cousin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was taught the dua that in the time of musibat, say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and say Allahumma ajurni, O Allahumma ajirni fi musibati Oh Allah, reward me in this musibat. وَأَخْلِفْ لِي خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا. And oh Allah, give me something better in return. So Ummu Salama says later on to her students, she says, when I learned this dua, I thought to myself, مَنْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَبِي سَلَمَا. I'm going to ask Allah to give me someone better, to replace me with something better in this musibat. But I thought to myself, who can be better than Abu Salama who I have lost? I lost a husband like Abu Salama, who can be better? Like many of us today, might think it's the end of the road. What's left for us? What can be better than what we had? She says, but I convinced myself and I read that dua and I had that yaqeen. And she says that at the end of my iddah, immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with my new husband as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proposed for her and married her immediately after her iddah. This is how Allah can replace respected friends and allies. Whether we realize what can be better, what is there left for us, what future is there for us. No, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I will treat my slave as he thinks of me, as he expects of me. Let us have hope in the khazana, in the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the mercy of Allah, and undoubtedly Allah will shower us with His mercies. In Turkey, after practically every salah, in nearly every masjid, or may I say every masjid that I visited, they make this dua. And they make the dua at the end of the dua. Allahumma inna nas'aluka tamaman ni'mah. Oh Allah, we ask you for complete ni'mat. For the complete ni'mah explained in one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as entry to Jannah and salvation from Jahannam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka tamaman ni'mah wa dawam al-afiyah. And oh Allah, we ask you for constant afiyat. Afiyah and divine protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been mentioned in the hadith as the greatest thing a person can achieve after iman. To get afiyah and to get the protection of Allah. Oh Allah, we want your afiyat and we want it constantly. Wa dawam al afiyah. Wa husn al khatima. And the last part of the dua. Oh Allah, give us a beautiful end. Wa husn al khatima. No matter what happens in the dunya, we are all living, respected friends and elders, for that last moment. Whatever we are doing now will fashion that last moment before you leave the dunya. We are living for that moment that we must leave in a good condition. This is a beautiful dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we should inculcate also. Afwan. This is not a dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I didn't find this in a hadith, but rather a beautiful dua that has a great meaning to it. Allahumma inna nas'aluka tamaman ni'ma wa dawam al-afiya wa husn al-khatima. And as last note, those of us who have suffered, undoubtedly we are owing people money. We are owing others. Instead of us expecting charity from them, rather make good intentions. Make that intention that I'm going to pay back. Now how is going to happen? Allah will open the way. A hadith of Bukhari Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man akhada amwal an-nas yuridu ada'aha. That person who has by him the wealth of others, he is owing people money, but he has the intention to pay it back. Yuridu ada'aha. أَدَّ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repay it for him. Allah will repay those people. Allah will repay those suppliers. Allah will open the way for you. But correct your intention. And inshallah you will see the mercy of Allah and the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us all tawfiq wa akhru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.